So tonight, I'm going to pick up a little bit from the message last week, but I want to get a little bit more personal tonight about John 5 and verse 44, and we'll go there in just a moment. But as you remember, the question Jesus asked of the Jews who were listening to him, he said, how can you believe when you look for the praise that comes from one another and not the praise from the one and only God? And we got into glory last night, how easy it is for human beings to want to be the center of attention and to really want glory. And so I shared a couple of really silly analogies. But when I was about 17 years old, I think this particular situation I'm going to describe to you really hit me for the first time how wrapped up my life was in the opinions of others. And I want to talk with you tonight about the opinions of others and how God can actually transform your insecure life into one that is so secure and at peace and full of confidence that comes from Jesus Christ. So I was I was really into music at the time, and one of the things you needed to do if you were going to go on into music was take a foreign language. At least I thought it'd be good to take a foreign language. So of all foreign languages, well, it was actually the only one offered at my school. It was French. So I decided I'd take the French class. And I showed up for the first day of class, and it was me and one other guy, and the rest was all girls in the class. Now, generally, guys don't mind that too much. But I found out real soon I was going to mind, because girls, although you would wonder after you've heard me now, but then I was not as verbal as I am now. And girls are far more articulate and verbal by nature than men. You can throw stones at me later. Go look it up. It's a scientific fact. And girls speak about 25,000 words a day, and guys speak about 10. I'm an aberration, and I understand that. And girls tend to have greater linguistic abilities. So the teacher, she was from France. She was Mrs. Hopkins. Her daughter, valedictorian of the class, Josie, was in the class. And the salutatorian of my high school class, Gail, was in the class, and Josie and Gail were best friends. And of course, Josie already knew French. I think she was just trying to pad her valedictorian class, you know, grades and get A's in the class, because she grew up speaking French. So one day, we've been doing books, we've been doing it for about a month, and the teacher says, now, one thing you need to know if you're going to pass this class is you have to speak French in class. I'm like, well, okay. So I didn't think much of it till she called on me to answer a question. So I answered the question in French, and I will not show you how I did it. It was really bad. And all of a sudden, every girl in the class burst out laughing. I never spoke again in the class for 6 months. Never. I said to myself inside, screw this. I will not be laughed at, especially by a room full of women. I'll take an F. I will take an F in this class. I will take an F. As long as you don't get a zero, you can still get out of high school. But I will not speak in this class again. And I didn't. Now, you can call that pride. You can call that stubbornness. You can call that just being a dumb male. But I knew the real reason. The real reason was, Mark really, really values the opinions of others. And when you're 17 and you're a guy and every girl in the class laughs at you, there's actually nobody's opinion more important to a 17-year-old male than women, at least in my case. So I never spoke again. And then eventually I got out of high school and I moved on. But still, underneath it all, there was this insecurity. Insecurity about me. I had done a lot of music. I had been in musicals, but every single one of them, I was scared to death. And everyone knew if you wanted to find Mark before like a musical or before a baseball game, it was in the bathroom. I had diarrhea, severely, from nerves. I just was so, and I used to get teased a lot. I won't tell you about what, because it was extremely humiliating. But I used to get teased all the time, all the time, all the time, all the time. So the last thing you'd ever imagine me, if you knew me then, ever being is a pastor speaking in front of people for a living and traveling different places in the world and speaking completely out of my element, using an interpreter in front of thousands of people. But I do. So how is that possible? Well, many years ago, I come to know Jesus Christ, and I began following Christ, and I was very excited to come to know Christ. I was very excited that He forgave me, that He died for me, that He loved me, and that I had this newfound purpose in life. But I did not yet know all that God wanted to do in my life, and He began little by little by little to unveil that. I mean, I wasn't afraid to go home and apologize to my family. That was rather cathartic. It was very meaningful. Because I knew I was following Jesus. And, you know, my family, I knew my family. And I really didn't get real paranoid and real self-conscious to go share with my best friend. I mean, he and I had hitchhiked together. We picked up girls together. We did a lot of really stupid things together. So I really wanted my friend to come to know Christ. And I'll never forget going over to his house. And I did everything but literally put a gun to his head to try to get him to repent and come to Jesus Christ. I mean, I even wept. I even pleaded with him to spend eternity with me. If he really loved me, come to Christ. Now, I used everything I could possibly use, but he didn't. That didn't faze me. But then God started to speak to my life and say, Mark, I want to use you to speak to others, and I want to use you to influence others for Christ, and I want you to be a pastor, and I want you to teach and preach my word. And all of a sudden, all the inhibitions, all the things I was self-conscious about as a young man started to come back in a very big way. And so I met my wife, and I remember, we weren't married yet, but I wasn't even afraid to talk to her. That was a big deal because I was always really afraid of girls. I was always really, really afraid of rejection, which was such a big thing to me when I met Kathy. And 2 weeks later, I went to find her in the dorm room to talk to her about the possibility of getting married. I knew this is God because, you know what? If I get rejected, I get rejected. I just want to be a man who's above board, full of integrity, and let her know my intentions and just say, will you just pray about it? And she says, you're an idiot. I'm an idiot. I'll just walk away. God will take care of me. That was a really big thing for me. Then eventually, other things happened that God also used, you might say, in a small interim way to build my courage and my confidence. But then we got married. And all of a sudden, I started having problems. I started to see myself in ways. I started to see things come out of me that were very, very unsettling. They were very discouraging. Let me just put it that way, really frankly. They were just really discouraging. I mean, like, how can a Christian say that? How can a Christian do that? How can I treat her this way? What's wrong with me? And all of a sudden, I was extremely, extremely, extremely self-conscious. And at the time, I was a worship leader, like Micah, like Jeremy. except I wasn't like them at all. I had no confidence. So I'd just walk up behind the microphone and I'd announce the song, and I wouldn't say anything and I wouldn't pray because I was afraid I'd just stick my foot in my mouth and I'd say the wrong thing and we'd just sing and then I'd sit down. I mean, I was completely paralyzed by the fear of others. The Bible says in Proverbs that the fear of man brings a snare, but those who trust the Lord are bold. And I was just really afraid of what other people thought of me. So I'm reading my Bible and I'm trying to follow the Lord the best that I could. This is about 4 years into my marriage, 3 or 4 years. And I had this same little New Testament that I have. I've recovered it a couple times, but it's pretty well worn. And one day, I was out to this park that I would go to pray and spend time with the Lord. And I open up my Bible, and I've told you this before, I'll tell you this again. God speaks to us in a very real way through His Word. God's Spirit, when we come to know Jesus, He lives inside of us, and He talks with us. We're in a relationship with God. Like my wife can speak to me, I can speak to her. God speaks to us. And He uses His Word and He uses the Holy Spirit to speak to our heart when we're in a place that's quiet enough to hear Him. And when we really want to know something. So I was out this particular day, and I was out in this stone shelter where I would go. And I opened up my Bible to the book of John, and I came to this verse. How can you believe when you look for the praise from one another and do not seek the praise from the one and only God? And I held it in my hand like this, and all of a sudden, there was a repeat, an echo of the verse, except it was different, and it was God. And God said to me, Mark, how do you think that you're going to have a real dynamic faith? A faith that allows you to step out and be bold and courageous when what you really value, Mark, is what others think about you and not what I think about you. Just like that. Clear as that, that's exactly what God said. He took the text and He spoke to my heart in a whole different way, and it hit me like a ton of bricks. For the first time, I realized, wow, you know what I'm doing? I'm more wrapped up in what other people think about me than what God thinks about me. In fact, I'm more wrapped up in what I think about me than what God thinks about me. I am by nature, this can be a good thing, and it can be a terrible thing. I am by nature a very introspective person. I'm not so much anymore because I've grown. And I'll explain that in a moment. But when I was a younger man, I was very introspective. And I was a little bit like David when he said in Psalm, "Oh Lord, my sin is ever before me." And that's kind of how it was for me. I would just replay over and over and over in my mind the things that I did wrong, the thing I said to Kathy, the thing I didn't say to Kathy, thing I did to Kathy, thing I didn't do, things I didn't do right here, my faults there. I mean, I was getting reproved right and left. Friend Bob here would come, this person here. It was like nothing I could do was right. And it just played over and over and over and over in my mind. And I would think about things that were said to me when I was young. I would think about things that were said to me when I was out of high school. Maybe family members that had said. And I began to realize that I really place a greater value, if I'm really honest, I place a greater value on my thoughts about me, my opinions about me, other people's opinions about me, than God. And I have, in a sense, made them more important in my life than God. I've observed something I wanted to share with you. I've been thinking about this all day, actually all week. A simple analogy, but I've had this happen to me four times in my life now. I had it with Celeste, my oldest daughter. I had it with my son, Jeremy. I had it happen with Micah. And now I have it happen with Jessica. And I've watched each of them fall in love. Now, before they fell in love, if I can just humbly say, I was the coolest thing in their life. At least one of them. One of them. Not the, but one of them. And they really valued my opinions. And boy, what Dad thought of me, he's just the coolest, wisest guy in the whole world. But all of a sudden, they fell in love. And of course, they're still in love. And my opinions aren't so important anymore. I mean, all of a sudden, you know, the girl or the guy is telling them, you ought to wear your hair like this. And you ought to wear that. I used to, that too, that was my role. I mean, you guys used to listen to me. But you know what happens, don't you? You fall in love. Love. It's all about love. It's all about this relationship. And all of a sudden, Gretchen is more important than Mark. And John is more important than Mark. And Leslie is more important than Mark. And now Mark is more important than Mark. Man, how does that work? I don't know. At least Jessica chose a man with the same beautiful name. And don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying I feel, you know, they just disrespect their old man all the time, who happens to be their pastor too. Just let me remind you of that. I'm saying that they're so captivated with the person that loves them and they love, that my opinions just aren't, not that they don't listen to the Word of God, that's not what I mean, but, you know, just opinions about stuff just don't matter so much anymore. Dad, I'm my own person. And I began to realize that there were a lot of things about God I see in this relationship that I doubted. I doubted He was powerful enough to use me. I doubted that He really loved me because I was so unlovable. And I felt unlovable. And I felt quite unlikable. And I began to realize that if God is going to use me, if God is going to unleash Himself in my life, this has got to radically change. It's got to change. I've got to be consumed with what God thinks about me. See, last week we talked about living to please God. We either live to please people or live to please God. But today I want to take this in a different direction. Tonight what I want to talk about is simply being caught up with what God already says about you is true. And most Christians don't even know it. Did you know? One of the reasons Jesus had such security, such confidence, such boldness was because He was secure and absolutely wrapped up in the Father's love. There has never been a man alive that has been so maligned, so persecuted, so taunted, so overlooked as Jesus Christ. Can you imagine what Jesus would have been like if He wouldn't have been secure? Oh man, it's just been like a pinball going back and forth all the time. Unsure of Himself. Now, what, did I say the right thing? Should I have done that? Should I have done this? Oh gee, that person was offended. Oh my gosh, Pharisees won't be dead. What am I going to do now? But Jesus knew that the Father loved Him. Do you remember when Jesus was baptized? And out of heaven came a voice said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom is all my delight." Did you know that because of Christ, God thinks the same thing about you? That because of Jesus Christ, you are God's beloved sons and daughters, in whom is all His delight. Did you know that because of Christ, you and I are as righteous in the eyes of God as Jesus Christ? Did you know that God likes you? God cares about you. You are precious to God. Did you know that the thoughts that God has about you every day, read Psalm 139, outnumber the grains of sand on the shore? He's thinking about you all the time, and His thoughts about you are good. He has great expectations of your life because He knows that you are His masterpiece, His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for these great works that He gave you to do. There is no fault or blame in you in the eyes of God. Well, obviously, young man, I say that now today. I believe it. I'm brainwashed. Yeah, see, I spent the last, when I began to understand what I'm sharing with you right now, you know what I did? I began to brainwash myself. I realized I need brainwashed with God's truth. I had been brainwashed with the world, and I willingly was brainwashing myself every day with lies. And I went over them and over them and over them, and it robbed me of power, and it robbed me of strength, and it robbed me of my birthright before God. It's doing the same thing to most Christians. See, the devil, he's already got you. He's already got you because you're insecure and you're so wrapped up. You think it's healthy, but it's very unhealthy. You're so wrapped up in you, in everything you're not. And it plays over and over in your mind. Or the things that a parent used to say. Or the things a relative used to say. Or a sibling used to say. You'll never be this. You're never going to get that. That isn't going to happen. God could never do that in your life. And you play these things over and in your mind. And the devil just constantly throws your sin up in your face. This is why Jesus was so powerful and so profound. And the same is true of the Apostle Paul. Paul knew it was by the grace of God that he was what he was. Did you know what the Apostle Paul says? He says in Philippians, "Finally, brothers, whatever's true, whatever's lovely, whatever's right, whatever's pure, whatever's good, whatever's excellent, whatever's worthy of praise, put your mind on these things, and the God of peace will be with you." So many years ago, I was just starting Evergreen. with Brent, and I was doing a little message on the U of M campus. And a young woman came up to me, who's now married to one of our pastors at New Hope. Actually, Josh's mother, he was playing the guitar here, Nikki. She's a 21-year-old college student. She came up to me, she said, "So Mark, I have a question. This is the first time I've ever heard about the grace of God like you're talking about it. I mean, I've never, ever heard these kinds of things before. And I grew up in the church." She said, "So Mark, when you think of yourself, what do you think about? How do you think of yourself?" I said, "That's easy. Whatever's true, whatever's lovely, whatever's admirable, whatever's excellent, whatever's praiseworthy. I put my mind on that, and that's what I've been doing for 30-some years. I can freely admit these, apart from Christ, these are my flaws. These are my flaws. These are my flaws. But they don't control my mind. As a young man, they dominated my life because I just kind of stared at them like, I'll never do this. I've got a bad temper. I'm not patient. I've got a loud mouth, a big mouth. I say dumb things. I do dumb things. I'm mean. I'm harsh. I'm critical over and over. And God can never use me. God can never use me. God can never use me." And as long as I was like, and God just said to me, "You know what, Mark, darling? Your opinions of you matter more to you than my opinions of you. That's got to change. It's got to change, young man." And so I made a point to change it. Still do to this day. So I got these tapes about what God thought about me, about God's truth, about God's love. And in fact, I'll read it to you tonight. Shortly after that time, I decided if I ever became a pastor, I would share all these things with anyone who would listen. And I wrote a little, I don't know if you call it a poem. It's basically a sheet of affirmation statements that are all biblical that I believe is the way that we need to think. And you can find these on the site that Dan Rollins created, strongdisciple.com. And it's a message called Feeling Good About You. Most Christians do not perform good because they do not feel good. God intends you to feel good, but your feelings need to be based on truth, not on lies. We don't live by our feelings, but God intends for you to have some emotional response to the good news and the good things about God. So I wrote this one day and I thought, well, this is only biblically logical. These are all, you can come up to me and see me this later if you want. "Because I am righteous, I feel pure." All of these have scriptural references beside them where these statements are found in the Bible. "Because I am powerful, I feel strong. Because I'm beautiful, I feel lovely. Because I'm justified, I feel no guilt. Because I'm perfect, I feel adequate. Because I'm handcrafted by God, I feel special. Because I'm bought with His blood, I feel priceless. Because I'm continually cleansed by His blood, I feel clean. Because I'm loved by God, I feel secure. Because I'm adequate and complete, I feel confident. Because I'm His chosen child, I feel worthy. Because I am what I am by His grace, I feel proud of who He made me to be. Because I'm accepted by God, I feel no pressure to prove myself. Because I am a saint, I will not feel like a sinner. Because in Christ, I am all these things. I feel great about who God made me to be." These are all true. This isn't a joke. If you don't get this, you lose. You simply lose. You'll lose in life. You won't lose Christ, but you won't ever live out the powerful and profound life that God intended for you to live before this world and with other believers. You won't have the courage to say what needs to be said. You'll always be introspective. You'll always be self-conscious. Let me tell you right now, you can't be self-conscious and do what I do. You can't give in to self-consciousness and say the things that I've had to say many times in front of crowds of thousands of people. Because if you're going to be God's spokesman, then the fear of the Lord has to be first. And what the fear of the Lord means is, Lord, what you say matters more to me than what anyone else says. And what you think, Lord, matters more. I never forget when I met Kathy and as we fell in love and, you know, our relationship developed and through all these years, you know, I don't even know if I've ever told my wife this, but one of the great blessings that Kathy's brought to my life is I just don't worry so much really about other women, what they think. I could care less. I got the best one anyway. when I was young, and some of you, this is really going to date me, but there's this man named Kenny Rogers, and he used to sing this song, "Because she believes in me. I don't know just what she sees in me. Maybe on some special night when my song is right, I could change the world." It's the power of a woman believing in you. And all of a sudden, all the other women, they just enter, they don't matter. It's just almost like when you're love, you just go blind. That's one of the powerful things about love, real love. I mean, when you're in love, it's just like gone. You just all disappeared. I don't see you. I just see that one. I'm just caught up. It's almost like this psychological and emotional connection where you just, in your psyche, you're just caught up. But she believes in me. And she used to tell me that all the time. Mark, I know God's going to use you. I know God's going to use you. But even more powerful than that is when you just get caught up with the fact that God believes in you because of what He's done in your life. So I want to encourage you to do something this summer. I want to encourage you to change this area of your life. And I want to encourage you, as you go through your Bible this summer, because I'm going to assume that you're beginning a habit to daily, every day, read your Bible. And I want you to make a little project to go through the New Testament and the Old Testament. You can use simple little tools like BibleGateway.com and look up little verses and follow the cross references. See if you can underline in red every verse of how God thinks of you. Write them in a notebook. Underline them. Because you got to know them. You got to get more wrapped up in what God thinks about you than what you or anybody else thinks about you. Because you know, in the final analysis, they don't matter at all. And what a terrible way to have lived your life, to find out at the end of your life, nobody's opinion really mattered, but you lived your life as if everybody's opinion really mattered. And they don't. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you tonight for the power of the Word of God, the power of the Spirit of God. And Lord, it just touches me so deeply these years as I've come to understand and as I continually wash my mind with the truth. I think about Paul, when Paul said, though I was the worst of all sinners, God found me faithful and put me into ministry. God considered me something worthwhile. This murdering, treacherous, abusive, wretch of a man, the Apostle Paul. Lord, you feel the same way about us. You rejoice over us with shouts of joy. We are precious and honored in your sight, and you love us. You treasure us as a mother and a father, that newborn baby, when they first hold that little child and they fall in love with that precious little baby. You feel that way towards us every moment of every day, through all eternity, and through all this life. Help us to understand it. Help us to grasp it. Help us to believe it. For how can we believe when what matters to us most is what others think, Lord, and not what you think? Change us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.